We're so glad you joined us today. There is so much that God wants to do in and through you, and we want to hear about it. Please take a moment to share your story with us at amen@thrivealamance.com. If you would like to contribute financially to this ministry, you can do so at thrivealamance.com/give.
Just want to thank you for being here today. Again, I know that there were 101 reasons why you shouldn't have come, but you came. Also, we have a lot of folks that tune in every week on social media. Will you just give our online folks just a round of applause just so that they know, yeah, that you're glad they're here. I'm glad they're here. We have folks that listen on podcasts. We have a lot that tune in live on our social media platform on Instagram, and we just thank God for that. Those of you who have taken time to write a review on social media about us, we thank you, especially if it was good. We really thank you. If it was bad, there are other churches you get. Anyway, if you did that on iTunes, if you did it on Google, any of those platforms, man, we just thank you for doing that. It helps us spread the word because we believe that it's all about spreading the gospel. And sometimes, unfortunately, in the world that we live in, the more likes you get, the more attention you gain. And it's not about attention, but man, it is about seeking and saving that which was lost. So last week we talked about what forgiveness was, and I'm not going to spend a ton of time in that recap. Those podcasts are there, but a couple of the highlights that I really want to hit on. I think one of the number one misconceptions about faith is that you're letting people off the hook, and you're not. I can forgive you. I'm going to talk about this here in a minute, but forgiveness is really about God being the judge and not me. It's about God figuring out what revenge needs to look like, not me. That maybe if I turn loose of the power and let God be the judge and not me be the judge, jury, and executioner. We also talked about last week that, you know what, that God said that he taught us in the Lord's Prayer. He said, and forgive us my debt. Forgive me my debt. As I forgive other people's debt. Well, yeah, but you don't understand what they did to me. Well, time out, in perspective. What all have you done? What all will you need to be in forgiveness of? Because what you're saying, but the way you forgive is, God, use the same measuring stick, use the same measure that I forgive them. I want you to forgive me the same way. So if I hold their grudges, then what I would like for you to do is I would really like for you to hold grudges against me. Now, forgiveness also is not allowing somebody over and over and over again to abuse you, to beat on you, to take advantage of you. The word says this, that we're to be as wise as a serpent, but as harmless as a dove. Sometimes it's okay to let people go out of your life. That's not unbiblical, that's biblical. Matter of fact, when, yes, y'all didn't amen nothing else, but you jumped on letting some people go. No, that had no God in it at all, but it was funny. Melanie, you just stay right with me. So sometimes, you know, really, sometimes what we need to find is the block and delete button. You know, every time I post something on social media, this person jumps, oh, you know what, block them. Every time this person calls, they get me all wound up. Stop answering your phone. Who pays your bill? I didn't pay for that. Okay, that doesn't have anything to do with what forgiveness is. I'm just saying, sometimes you got to let it go. Matter of fact, Ephesians 4:31 says this. Paul writes, and man, this one sentence I could preach on for an hour. I won't, but I could. It says in Ephesians 4:31, it says, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, and evil speaking be put away from you with malice. He said, but in your life, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, evil speaking, be put away from you with malice, with great intent, with steadfastness. He said, man, don't even let that stuff hang out in your life. Is it because it's about them? No, listen, man, people go, well, I got the right to be mad. No, you've got the right to forgive. You've got the emotion to be mad. So about what forgiveness is just for a second. So if somebody does me wrong, let's just be honest, the natural reaction is I want to do you more wrong. I kind of honestly, and I took this approach with raising my child, was this, is I believed in the rule of compounding reaction. If you did a little something wrong, if I did a great deal back to you, it was a great deterrent not to do something wrong again in the future. And it works with raising children. I figured y'all would get more in agreement with that. But this principle works in raising children because the Lord calls you to be the disciplinarian. He calls you to judge their actions and react accordingly. It's like this. If you get that behind a little bit better than the lie they told, they won't think about telling that. Does that make sense? When that lie comes up, they'll be like, you know, I have a knowledge base that I can just go to and go, you know, that may not work out well for me the second time. Because the first time wasn't particularly a picnic. When it comes to forgiving other people, the number one thing we have to get out of our head is that we're not the judge. Remember last week, Scripture taught us, do not pay evil for evil, which is what I want to do, but repay evil with good. I heard a story, this lady, she's a national in national ministry, and she had this guy who was on her staff for a long time. And so he quit or got fired or whatever, and he went around town telling everybody how bad the church was. So you know what she did? Now imagine this. How was my reaction? Oh, I'm mad. I'm up to here. Right? Do you know what she did? She went and bought a very expensive gift set, mailed it to his house to thank him for his years of service. And what the Lord showed her was in this moment, have you ever heard the scripture, your mom or grandma hopefully told this to you? You know, if you be kind to people who are bad to you, it's like that scripture where it says, and it piles heaps of burning coals on their head. See, I kind of wanted to skip the good part and just go straight to the burning coals. Until I figured out what I'm really looking to do is exact my own revenge. But God said this, he said, you know what, if you give good for evil, what the enemy doesn't understand is, what do I do with that? What do I do when you're mean to me? It's like, have you ever spanked a puppy? Like got after it with a newspaper? Or a kid, but puppies are better. But and all of a sudden the puppy turns around and just flops over and starts biting the newspaper. It doesn't understand that you just corrected. Have you ever tried to get a puppy to go away from you? So you kind of do the foot. I'm not talking about kicking the puppy. I'm just talking about a nudge. You just nudge, right? And the puppy goes like this. And then get nudged away. And it just keeps coming back. And after a while, you just pick it up and love it. But if you do that to a cat, you'll never see it again. Does this make sense? You give it a little nudge. Pff. So what happens is this, is if you understand the way that a puppy really reacts, puppies love blind. Especially a particular breed of puppies, and you'll hear me talk about these a lot. Golden puppies, golden retriever puppies, feel right. No matter what you do to them, you can't be mad at them long. Because no matter what they do, they're going to love, and they're going to look over, and they're going to forgive. Watch this. Forgiveness on your part starts with a mental decision, not an emotion. Most people say this. They say, I'll forgive when I feel like it. When what the Lord calls us to do is not necessarily feel like it. God doesn't really, this is going to shock you, but God doesn't really care how you feel. He cares what you do. I'm going to say that again because you really need to write it down. God doesn't really care how you feel. He cares what you do. It's like this. If you raise a child, you don't particularly need them to feel like cleaning their room. You just need them to do it. And at the end, they'll feel better about what they did. Does this make sense to you? You don't particularly need to feel. I don't feel like doing laundry. Can a mom get in agreement with me? I don't get up and go, laundry day. But you know what? I know that it needs to be done. You don't have to feel like forgiveness. You just got to know that it needs to be taken care of. And here's the thing. What you have to do is you have to start with a mental decision and then pray that the emotional part will follow. Anybody ever seen the the above and below water shot of a duck. I teach this to my leaders all the time, especially if you're going to be on platform. It doesn't matter what you feel inside. Inside, your feet can be doing this 100 miles an hour. But on the surface, you have to remain calm. You have to look like, hey, the church is on fire. You know, we meant to do that. This church is on fire. Can I get away? You know what I'm saying? You just have to be able to go with. Makes it, the mic stand fail. You know what? The Lord is just moving things in this place this morning. Are you tracking with what I'm saying? It doesn't matter how you feel. If get on the inside, you can be struggling emotionally with your forgiveness. But when you choose to let it go, last week we used the weight analogies. And we talked about how we pick up offenses. And some offenses we pick up are big and some are little. But the problem is that anytime you pick something up, you diminish your ability to use your hands. You limit your ability to be used. So I can set this weight down and still be emotionally tired, but I still let go. Now, what happens is this, is if you will use the duck on the water analogy and just go, you know what, Lord, inside my feet are clicking and they're ticking and they're going, man. They're 100 miles an hour. But you know what? God, I'm making a mental, willful decision that I'm going to forgive this person. And my prayer is that you cause my emotion to fall in line with my action. I'm going to give it to you again. Lord, I'm praying because my emotion is doing this. But my action is towards forgiveness. So, Father, will you let my emotion fall in line with my action? Let me give you an example. If you were a tither, the first time you started paying tithe, you were probably not a cheerful giver. Can I get a witness from somebody just to be honest? You are more like this kind of giver. So you said 10%. Now, is that gross or net? Can I get a wit? Somebody be honest. And then finally, you let go kind of like that. You know what I mean? Like, but then over time, you found out that God's provision was actually what he said it was. And it became easier and easier and easier till finally you looked forward to seeing what God would do when you turn loose. Forgiveness is exactly the same way. God, I give away a little bit of it because I don't know what inside it's going to do to me. Do I understand that letting go of my pain and my unforgiveness and my bitterness is actually freeing and frees up space for joy and peace and kindness and faithfulness? God, by turning this loose, I don't trip over my unforgiveness. Because see, unforgiveness that's left laying around is a hazard. Forgiveness is not based on other people's actions, but our attitude. You can't make me mad because I have an attitude of forgiveness. Imagine this. Imagine that you became so full of unforgiveness that you became unoffendable. What does your life look like if you're unoffendable? Can you imagine what Christmas this year would look like when your mother-in-law came in and she started criticizing you and you just looked at her and went, okay, great. This meatloaf's a little dry. You know what? You know what I praise God for? I praise God for dry meatloaf because in Africa, people would kill for dry meatloaf. In Haiti, they would eat this out of a dirty hand stuck through a fence. Man, I praise God. I did the best I could. But you know what? If you have an anointing for that, you feel free. Don't pull your husband into the other room and tell him how you wished his mother would, right? I'm glad she's saved. Do you think the Lord would like her now? Because I'll be more than happy to help her get there. Don't pull your wife in the other room and tell her how. Forgiveness is not based on their actions, but our attitudes. People will continue to hurt us through life. We can either look outward at them, stuck in our anger and our unforgiveness, or we can keep our minds on our loving relationship with God and let Him settle our scores. Do you know that really unforgiveness is about settling it up? It's really about making somebody else pay. Because remember we talked about how forgiveness is the currency of heaven? Jesus said this, and Lord, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. It's a currency. Jesus paid the price for your sin. What we want to do is we want to make other people pay for their mistakes and pay for what they did for to us. The problem is we have to forgive every time. Did you know that forgiveness is about saying this? You don't owe me anything. Because if forgiveness and unforgiveness is a debt, if doing somebody wrong is a debt, forgiveness is about just looking at them and going, look, you did wrong. You did wrong. You did me wrong. You did somebody else wrong. I can't believe the unbelievable amount of pain that you caused me. But you know what? You don't owe me anything. I choose to forgive you. You go work it out with God. You don't owe me a thing. I have a good pastor friend of mine that was in the youth ministry as a student leader when I was 17. We went to Carowinds and there were some girls out of the youth group that I wanted to impress. And my pastor, he's a pastor friend. He's actually here in town. He wore, anybody remember Hush Puppies back in the day? They were like fuzzy shoes with, yeah, you know what I'm talking about. Well, he wore those all the time. And so we're in Carowinds. I don't even know what got into me. I remember it like it was yesterday. But he got ready to walk off, and I just reached out and hit his back foot, tripped him right in the middle of Carowinds. This guy never gets mad. You know who I'm talking about. 20 years later, I felt bad about it for like 20 years. We lost touch. And he came back into town as a pastor and youth pastor, and we started talking. And I said, Pastor, I just have to ask you forgiveness. I said, you probably don't even remember this. We were in Carowinds. He said, oh, when you tripped me. That would be what I was about to talk about. He said, yeah. He said, but I want you to understand something. He said, I remembered it. But I want you to know, he said, I left there, I was humiliated and I was mad. He said, but that afternoon, he said, I just made a decision to forgive you because you were young and stupid. And I was young and stupid once, and I'm sure that I did worse to other people. He said, but all it did was just, he said, I just asked the Lord to touch my heart and help me never to make anybody feel the way you made me feel. I said, well, good talking to you again. We're great friends, but I just looked at him and said, man, I just want you to know that I'm genuinely, genuinely, genuinely sorry. But here's the thing. He had already gotten over the action before my apology. My apology, here's what happened. If he would have walked with unforgiveness, he would have been carrying the weight of my offense. He forgave me, so for 20 years, I carried around this apology that I owed him that I had to live with. So forgiveness is really about who's going to carry the weight. Because when people offend you and you hold on to it, they don't think about it anymore. But here's what I believe. I believe that when you pray about it, it may not be today, it may not be tomorrow, it may not even be next week, but eventually the Lord will begin to deal with their heart. You have to understand that forgiveness is a process, not an event. I love this. People go, I got saved. No, you didn't. You're still being saved. You didn't get, this ain't a gallon of milk. You didn't go get a gallon of milk because you're going to need another one. I didn't get saved. I'm constantly being saved from my sin, from my shortcoming, from my offense to God. I offend God daily and need his forgiveness. And here's the reality. That if I'm going to forgive somebody, I have to choose that every time it comes to my mind, rather than dwelling on that emotion that it brings up, I have to dwell on the fact of the action that I willfully forgive them. I'm not going to get all wound up. I'm not going to sit there and get mad and start plotting on how to take them out of this world and all the ways I could get them back and how much I hope they suffer. And what I'm going to do instead is say, God, can you let peace reign in me because I forgive them. My emotions don't match that right now. But God, you're the controller. If you can control the sea, you can control my emotions. So Father, right now, I just choose to be peaceful. I choose to turn on Andy Griffith. I choose to turn on the world. I'm just not going to dwell on this thing. Lord, you deal with them. You created them. Let me ask you a question. Do you walk around cleaning up after somebody else's dog? You walk around with a bag. This still cracks me up. People walk around with baggies full of poop now. Do you know that? Like that, like if you live, like I live in the country, so we don't care. We just poop wherever you want to, but we let the animals do it too. But that was free. It's a heavy topic. I had to give you something. You ever talk to somebody? I talked to somebody the other day, and they were holding a bag full of their doggy poop. And I was just sitting there like this. Well, you know what I'm talking about? Just like, do you know you're holding a bag of poop? But you know what? I talked to other people. I talked to a lady 2 weeks ago. I had a chance to spend some time, and she's so full of unforgiveness and bitterness and that kind of thing that the whole time I was talking to her, I felt like she was holding a bag of poop of unforgiveness. You know, the funny thing about both of those is I wondered why either case, they didn't just set the bag down. I smelled the stink. You know, the problem is that if you hold it long enough, you get used to it. You get used to not having peace in your life, and you get used to not having joy in your life because you've held that unforgiveness, which is the waste out of somebody else's life dropped into yours. And if you'll just say, you know what? Here's the thing. When you set poop down, guess what it still is? It's still a bag of poop. I'm just choosing to move away from it. Have you ever had, this is a horrible analogy, I can't believe I'm using it, it wasn't planned. Have you ever had a poop so bad that was around you that even after you left, you still smelled it? Y'all knew where I was going, didn't you? You're like, I've been there, Pastor. This is life-changing message right here. Well, here's the thing. Forgiveness can linger in your nostril, but the only way to get past that smell of unforgiveness is distance. I have to distance those emotions. I have to willfully every day get up and decide, I forgive you. I forgive you again. I forgive you again. I forgive you again. Jesus, how many times are we supposed to forgive? Jesus said 70 times 77, whatever for whatever, multiply. Just keep doing it. He gave them a math equation. And Peter's sitting there like I was trying to remember the numbers. And he said, Peter, here's the point. Just keep forgiving them. Because the minute you start to stop forgiving them, I have to stop forgiving you. I've read the story of Peter's life. Peter needed it over and over and over and over again, that forgiveness, that grace and the mercy of God. So Peter said, I can't afford to withhold it because Jesus, I know me. I'm going to need it. Here's the thing. You can't afford to withhold forgiveness because I promise you this, you're going to need it. So every day you've got to get up and just say, you know what, I make a willful decision to forgive. Get your pen out. Forgiveness is returning to God the right to take care of justice. Forgiveness is returning to God the right to take care of justice. By refusing to forgive, we refuse to transfer the right and exact punishment or revenge. We're telling God that we don't trust Him to take care of the problem. Unforgiveness is simply looking at God and saying, I don't trust you to work this out and settle the account. I have to do it because you're not good enough. But forgiveness is saying, you know what, God, they hurt me and they did all that. And Jesus is looking at you right now going, yeah, I know they sent me to a cross. And they tortured me and they beat me and they spit on me and they stripped me down and they embarrassed me in ways that you can't even imagine. Honey, I understand. Now, I'm going to say this. You can say whatever you want to about me, but if you mess with my wife or kid, you will see a side of me Jesus has nothing to do about. But I'm going to tell you, the first thing I ever learned how to do is repent. Amen. Yeah. Now, watch this. If I feel that way about my child and my wife, you're the bride of Christ and His adopted child. How much more does He feel about you? So why are you trying to work on something that He's going to do better and more swiftly than you can ever do? See, sometimes what we want people to do is we want people to have punishment, but sometimes the punishment is having to live with their mistake. See, sometimes, have you ever had a kid and they did something and they look at you and just go, just spank me. 2 weeks of grounding, that's a long time. Just get it over with. 30 seconds, it's done. I was that kid. I just look at my parents and go, bruises heal. I lie to people and tell them how I got bruises on my butt. You know what I'm talking about? It don't bother me. Take at it. But when they grounded you, 2 weeks to a teenager, I'd never prayed for the return of Christ before. But about 2 hours in, I was like, Jesus, even so, come quickly. I know what you mean. Right? Sometimes having to live with a mistake is a greater punishment than anything you can do. Refusing to forgive is looking at God and say, I don't think you know how to administer justice. Now here's the cool thing. Philippians 4:13 said, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. You have the ability to forgive. Yeah, but you don't know. They molested me. They raped me. They stole my finances. They took my job. They stole my girlfriend. They took my wife. Jesus said, yeah, but forgive them. Because you can do all things when I give you the strength to. Romans 12:21 says, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. God, they did me wrong. What I want to do, what my emotions tell me to do, is not what you tell me to do. So I can only obey one thing at all, and I refuse to let my emotions be my God. You're my God. I'll do it your way. My emotions are telling me to go this way. You know what? My emotions tell me to sin all the time. I mean, am I the only one in the house who, like, emotionally, if it weren't for God, I promise you, I'd do stuff different. If God was not in the equation, illicit sex, drugs, any musical style I want to, any intake of information, pornography, whatever, I mean, you let it go. I mean, without God, I'm doing what I want to do. And it's going to be fun 24/7, right up to hell. But because I believe that there's a God, and I believe in the life-changing power of God, I believe that God called me to be like God. In the beginning, we were created in the image and the likeness of God. We're not God, but we are like God. We're created with the ability to love in a similar way that God does. We can forgive in a similar way that God can forgive because he gave us the power to do it. And he said this. He said, so here's what I want you to do. I want you to repay evil with good. Now, again, I'm not talking about going back. If you're abused, I'm not talking about going back and being abused. I'm not talking about if somebody did inappropriate things to you, go back and do it. I'm not saying get in a cycle of that. But what I am saying is this. I can get out of the cycle and forgive you. See, people think that forgiveness only benefits the other person. We think that, again, I just keep going back to, we feel like we let them off the hook. But the main beneficiary is you. Because when I offend you, I hand you offense. Come up here, Michael. I just handed you offense and they can't see you on social media and that's not fair. So 10-pound kettlebell, I hand to Michael. Tell Michael to hold it straight out in front of him. Some of you guys know where this is going. How do I feel? I feel the same. You know why? Because Michael is holding all the offense. I was listening to secular music. Don't judge me. I was listening to secular music a couple weeks ago, and in one of the songs he said something about holding a grudge, and this analogy just hit me. That every grudge, no matter how big or how small, Michael's going to struggle here in a minute to hold that 10-pound weight straight out ahead of him. This is, I think, a pound or two. I can take the strongest man in this room. Michael, I'm going to call it you right now. And I can say, Michael, just hold this the rest of the service, and he'd start out grinning at you. And about 10 minutes, he'd be going. Because no matter how big or how small the grudge is, if you hold it long enough, it'll wear you out. You know the only way that you can get over things is, how can Michael put this down? He has to make a willful decision. Now, when he puts it down, his arms are still going to be, now keep it up there. His arms are still going to be sore. He may be sore for days and weeks after. Did anybody ever have one of those workouts? But the only way he can start to heal, go ahead, Michael, you know you want to, is just set it down. The emotion, the aftermath of that exercise may haunt him for weeks or even months. But once he sets it down, he's starting the process to heal. Eventually, his body, his emotions, his feelings will match the action of letting go. Now, here's a free hint. If you let go of something, stop talking about it. This is free. If you're going to forgive it, stop talking. I forgive them, but man, your butt is about to get in your way. If you forgave your spouse of something, stop talking about it. Because when you talk about it, you pick it back up. And then you can't feel, I don't know why I can't break free from it. Because you walk off from it, you go back and pick it up, move it where you're going. The only way you can forgive something, we don't have the ability to forget. I wish God gave us that ability. I can't throw it as far as the east is from the west and remember it no more. But the more I talk about it, the more I'm going to remember it. It's going to bring up emotion. It's going to rip the Band-Aid off, and I'm going to go right back to hurting again. You see, when you release your bitterness and your anger and your unforgiveness, it will be the first time you're able to live with real peace and real joy. Because you can't have it and hold on to something else. Your hands are too full. I think the last main reason that people choose not to forgive is because they think it's too hard. God, is too hard. How do I forget? I'm going to give you 4 steps. Here are your 4 steps to work on forgiveness. If you want to walk in forgiveness, here they are. 4 easy steps. Easy is not true, but that's okay. 4 steps. First of all, you have to make a quality decision. Forgiveness is about more than saying a prayer like, Lord, I forgive them. It's a serious decision that you make over and over again. It will be uncomfortable. It will be painful, but going through the process will be worth it in the end. The only way that you can really walk in forgiveness is to make a mental conscious effort to forgive. Well, I don't feel it. It doesn't matter. I chose it. It's like salvation. Did anybody else get up and you just don't feel saved some mornings? Doesn't mean you're not. You just don't feel like it. The second thing is this, is once I make that willful decision, I have to depend on God. I will go as far as I can in my decision, but then I need God to pick up what I cannot do. God gives us the strength to forgive. We can live in a prayerful mindset and attitude with this prayer. Lord, help me not to be offended today. Notice what they're not looking at 6 weeks from now. Jesus said, give me today my daily bread. Just give me what I got to have for today. Tomorrow has enough problems of its own. I worry about tomorrow when I get there. So you know what, God? Give me the forgiveness and grace that I have to give for today. Keep me from unnecessary anger. And God, if I'm mad at someone, show me who it is and give me the grace to forgive them. Ephesians 4:32 says this, and be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiven one another, even as Christ forgave you. Even as men, we need to be tenderhearted men. I know I got a bunch of type A's in here, but you can be tenderhearted and forgiving and still be type A. Because you know what? I have to forgive just as Christ forgave. Number 3. Let me back up. If there's someone in your life who annoys you, not only do you have to decide to forgive and live in peace, but you're going to have to depend on God for the grace to do it and make it a matter of prayer. See, some people you can choose not to be around. Another you get paid for. Or you're related to. Or you married in without counting the cost of the end. I'm just saying, there could be a lot of different ways that these people aren't movable. So what do? I go into it going, have you ever had somebody that you're offended, but you've got to see them? You've got a court date. You've got a business deal. You've got right, and you've got to go in and see them. So what do? Man, God, today I need the grace. I have to depend on you to get me through this. So the first one's make a quality decision. Second is depend on God. Number 3, understand your emotions. Emotions, most people don't know this, but emotions have psychological changes inside of our brain. You ever watch? I like watching people go, I can't control my temper. Well, you ain't got fired from your job yet, have you? So you can't control it there. So it's not a matter that you can't control it. You just haven't understood your emotions yet. And when you understand that your emotions causes changes chemically in your brain, then understanding that when I go from when I make that first thing, which I'm going to make a quality decision, but then I have to understand that emotions provoke psychological changes that give us a desire to do something. For example, when somebody hurts you, you often feel pain. And at first, you just want to tell them off or stab them or whatever. Maybe you're more spiritual than I am. But remember, you have to make a choice. Your will gives you the ability to live beyond your feelings. Your will gives you the ability to live beyond your feelings. feelings. How many people have heard, how many people are on social media and you watch people just go off the deep end over something that, whatever? Anybody seen this hashtag triggered? I'm getting ready to do a message called triggered. I promise it's going to be killer if the Lord will release me to do it. Because everything sets somebody off. What the Lord's calling us to do is look, get a hold of yourself. Get a hold of your emotions and don't get triggered. Make the decision that I understand that my emotions may be going like this, but I'm a duck on the water. How I react is what I control. Last but not least, Matthew 5:44, Jesus commands us, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you or do you wrong. So the fourth thing is I've got to pray for my enemies and not pray like this, God, kill them. God, give them jungle rot. God, right? Anybody ever prayed that prayer? God, you told me to pray for my enemy. Here's what I'm about to pray. God, let their brakes fail. Let their steering box go out. God, let their tire fall off on the interstate. Don't let the other driver get hurt. But Lord, I'm just saying, save them, but bring them to you. Kind of feel like I'm the only one on that one, maybe. But this is the hardest teaching, I think, to follow, is to remember to pray in love for people who did us wrong. Because again, it's about returning the power of justice back to God. When I pray for and love, again, doesn't mean I go back in that cycle. But you know what? What happens when the Lord causes you to go, you know, that person repents and they cause you to go back into that place. And then you keep having these thoughts and these emotions and you just make those decisions 1 through 4 and you live it over and over and over again and you don't talk about it and you don't. I use this analogy. I'm going back to a golden retriever. I had a golden retriever that I loved. He got cancer and died suddenly. Just went downhill. As much as I love that dog, I don't go in my backyard where I buried him and dig him up to visit him. Because if he's dead, he has to be gone. See, unforgiveness isn't really unforgiveness if you keep digging it up and trying to walk it around the yard. It's dead. You got to let it die. And when it raises up, it's handled in prayer and through conscious decision and through choices and through asking God. Does this make any sense to you? Well, how do I know if I forgive them? When it comes up, the inside temperature doesn't go to 3,000 degrees. How long is that going to take? Maybe till Jesus comes back. I don't know. It's not up to you. Your role is forgiveness and the choice, not the emotion. That's a hurt only Jesus can heal. As we come to close, you know, really today the choice is yours. I promise that if I went around here and I'm not, but I let each person in this room tell their story of pain and hurt and unforgiveness, we would all cry rivers of tears. Some of you guys have pain and hurt that honestly, I don't even know that I can speak to. But here's what I do know. I know that God can. This isn't about my empathy towards you. This is about God trying to have a communication and a conversation with you. Today, I believe this. I believe that you can find a new level of joy, a new level of peace, a new level of freedom. That's only found in forgiveness. But the problem is it is a choice. And it's a choice that only you can make. Three things I want to talk about in altar call is this. Today you have to make a decision that you'll no longer choose offense, but rather you're going to give in. Lay down your pain. Lay down the weight of what you're carrying. And forgive. It's a choice only you can make. The second is to decide that with God's help, you'll not just decide to forgive today during worship service, but you're going to forgive tomorrow. And the next day. And the next day. And the next day. And you're going to keep forgiving as long as you have to forgive. I think the heart of today's message is that you're going to have to let that debt go. That you're going to have to look at the people or the multiple folks who have done you wrong. And you're just going to have to look at him and say, you don't owe me anything. You don't owe me an apology. You don't owe me back pay. You don't owe me for the pain. You don't owe me for the tears. I forgive you. It's a choice. Not only am I going to make it today, but I'm going to make it tomorrow. And I'm going to make it the next day. With every head down, every eye closed, nobody looking around as we come to close. If you're today and you say, you know what, Pastor? Today I choose to forgive. If you're on social media, we thank you so much for joining us. But we're gonna ask that you spend some time in prayer today. If you're in house and you go, you know what, Pastor, I'm here and man, I'm hurting. I know that there's folks that I need to forgive. And you know what? I don't need everybody to know what my deal is, but today I'm just making a decision. I'm not going to talk about it anymore. I'm putting to action with what you're calling me today. Today, I'm just going to choose. I'm going to forgive people. I'm going to forgive the people that have done me wrong. If that's you, will you just stand up right where you're at? If you're like, you know what, man, this is where I'm at. It's just a new day. Today, I'm going to walk in freedom. I'm going to walk in grace. I'm going to walk in forgiveness. Man, today, I just stand up before the Lord, not before people. Look, don't stand up because everybody else is standing up. This is a thing about you and God. You know what I mean? This is a time where you tell everybody else they need to be somewhere else. This is just a moment in history where you say, you know what, God? I know that people have done me wrong. Man, they touched me ways they shouldn't have touched me. They abused covenants they shouldn't have abused, man. They stole from me, man. They took stuff from me they had no business doing. But today, God, I give the right to that judgment back to you. God, today, I forgive. Will you just lift your hands towards heaven? I just want to pray a prayer with you. You pray however it looks. I'll give you an example of what to pray. But will you just pray out loud with me? Father, today, I just forgive those who've done me wrong. God, you went to the cross and you paid a debt that I owed. God, you paid for the ways I hurt you and the ways I did you wrong and the ways I took advantage of our relationship. God, I'm sorry for that and I need your forgiveness. But Father, I also need to forgive these people who've done me wrong because Father, I'm a bigger sinner. I owe more than what they owe me. Father, today you put that in an account that you have. You take care of the justice on this, God. You take care of the problem. You take care of the debt. God, today I choose to walk in forgiveness. But tomorrow, Father, when this unforgiveness calls for me to go back to it, God, I'm going to choose to forgive again. God, no matter how many times I have to forgive the same offense over and over again, God, I'm setting it down today in Jesus' name. Now, Father, I pray freedom, I pray peace, I pray joy over each person that had the courage to lift their hands today. God, that had the courage to bear their soul before a living God. Father, today we bury those things in the past. God, we may not go back to them again, but Father, we're not going to go dig them up. Father, today we let go of the offense and we choose forgiveness. In Jesus' name.
Thank you for tuning in to Thrive Church. We hope today's message touched your life. You can share your testimony with us at amen@thrivealamance.com. If you would like to support this ministry financially, you can do so at thrivealamance.com/give.